Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 9, we were talking about the difference in our call for justice and God's mercy. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
A holy, sovereign God created us in His image with a free will. His ways are not our ways. Why not? I mean, if I was God, I'd kill Satan. You hear stories of people who kidnap, then molest and torture children. Priests that have done the same. I want to see people like that strung up, let alone a parent that would do that to their child. I would just like to see them strung up. And if I'm the parent, you know, I want to do the exact worst after they would do something like that to my child. And especially as you see its harm on that child in later life. God's people, in His image, is important. And as I said, I would kill Satan. But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He takes on humanity to die for us. He maintains His holiness and thereby proves His omnipotence, that is, His all-powerfulness, and His omniscience, His all-knowingness, in that He can allow Satan to continue and not be threatened by Satan's existence. You see, my friend, the person of God, the person of Jesus Christ, is not diminished or threatened one bit by Satan. Satan can do nothing to Him. Now, that takes us to verses 16 and 17, because they go into an explanation in case there's any misunderstanding. There it says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Now, before Christ died and rose again, salvation was extended on credit, so to speak. The Old Testament sacrifice, prescribed by the Father and offered in faith by sinful men, looked ahead to the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God. The Old Testament saint, as well as the New Testament saint, received the promise of eternal redemption as a result of the shed blood and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This is where Henry Morse, in his notes on verse 16, gives great insight. He says, "The first covenant made by God with man, which was actually called a covenant, was the unconditional covenant made with Noah after the flood, following the sacrifice of clean animals when they came out of the ark. Similarly, Abraham also had an unconditional covenant from God when he sacrificed five animals in Genesis 15. God gave the law to Israel on Mount Sinai, but it was a conditional, not an unconditional, but a conditional covenant based on the obedience the children of Israel. It was also accompanied by burnt and peace offerings and the sprinkling of the blood of the covenant. However, all these offerings of animals were only temporal and typical, prefiguring and prophesying the eternal offering of the blood of Christ and the making of the new covenant. Now, in the case of these particular covenants made by God with man, death was required to bring them into operation so that the Mosaic covenant and Christian covenant, in effect, became testaments or wills. In other words, a death had to be in order for the will to come to effect. But then there must be a mediator who qualifies to be an executor. Only Christ fits that bill. He only fit the bill to die for our sins, to fulfill the will. And only he fits the bill to be the mediator, the executor. Therefore, that means that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, yea, the bodily, physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is just as important as the cross. Let me say that again. The literal, physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is just as important as the cross. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, we see an explanation of this statement. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The only one in his humanity who can legally take the book and execute the will is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he is both the testator and the executor. And this answers the high priestly prayer that we read in John 17:24, where it says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me." Now the answer is fulfilled. The testator died, the executor living. And so he must now raise from the dead in order to carry out the work of a testator. And my friend, he did. The men with whom God was making the covenant were all under the sentence of death. Therefore, God covenanted to die in their place. He is the testator, the one who made the covenant. Now, you'll notice the words, "no strength," in verse 17, because it means it produces no results. Let's read that again. "For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, the word testament is from a Greek word that is almost always translated covenant. The translators, due to the context of the two sentences in verses 16 and 17, translate it testament, and rightly so. A covenant is an agreement between two parties and is in force while they live. A testament is a written declaration, that is a will, which directs an appointed executor in what is to be done after the testator is dead. So how could this be both a covenant and a testament? How could it? Well, only Christ could accomplish this feat. The executor had to be one alive when the covenant is made, and also be around after the testator is dead. He died, but hallelujah, he lives. Death could not hold him. That is why there is only one way of salvation. Only Jesus Christ our Lord is our surety. He can vouch for the validity of the new covenant. He died that it might be in force. He lives as the divine surety of the testament. So he sits at the Father's right hand as our mediator and our great high priest within the most holy place of heaven, while the blood of his sacrifice lies on the mercy seat as our surety. Oh, my friend, what blasphemy it is to proclaim that there are many roads to heaven. To make that proclamation calls God an out and out low down liar, and he is not. There are not many roads to heaven. Jesus Christ said it rightly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 also says, there is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You say, well, that is narrow thinking. Didn't Jesus say, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction? That narrow was the way that leadeth into life everlasting. You better decide whether you want to follow the traditions and the philosophies of men or the truth of God's word. As for me, I'm going with God. Now, that takes us then to verses 18 through 22 and the importance of the blood. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.